Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Wednesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. We're going to be discussing anxiety and poverty. Before I get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer, a song of praise. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your word that you've given us, God. Father, I thank you for the instruction and the wisdom and the direction and the care and concern that's contained for God. Father, I thank you for you directing and commanding us to listen to the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, and obey them so that we can receive your love freely and openly without any doubt, worry, or fear. We can know that we can go boldly before your throne, God. Father, I thank you for your presence in our life, God. I thank you for how you accept us, and I thank you for how you release us into the world to win others for the kingdom, to introduce others to your Son, Jesus Christ, so that they can make him their master, just as we have made him our master, God. Father, I thank you for you calling us when we were your enemies and drawing us to you as your dear children. Father, I thank you for all of this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to listen to this song by Donald Lawrence, The Prayer of Jabez.
Keep your hands upon me.
Sing this part.
With your host, Lester Carver, on Spirit Lab Network. Tonight, we're going to be discussing anxiety and piety. And the reason we're going to be discussing anxiety and piety is because it seems that there are so many people who are trapped in doubt, worry, fear, unbelief, that even Christians are being diagnosed with anxiety and medicated for this anxiety. And the medication is having an effect on their ability to control their mind and creating a host of other problems. So what I want to do is try to get us in a place where we begin to see how God is directing us to be free and to not be subject to the cares of this world, not be subject to anxiety and anxiousness and doubt, worry, and fear. Now, I understand. I am a grown man, and I have responsibility and understand the stress related to life. And when I look at this definition of anxiety, the definition of anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And see, because we don't know the future, no one knows the future except God. So that's one of the advantages to having a relationship with God and trusting God, is that if God needs to tell you something about the future, he will. And even if he doesn't, because God has gone before you and God said that, yes, you may be tempted with all things common to man, but he promised that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you will be able to bear. And in addition to that, along with the temptation, he will make a way of escape. So whenever we are being confronted with any attack, we are always to stay peaceful and focused and expecting God to come through on his promise, and we should always be looking for the way of escape. Normally, this allows us to freely focus on whatever it is we're supposed to be, and we do good at all times. We attempt to do our best at all times. And no matter what the circumstance is, we continue to push through and do our best to do our best and let God do the rest. And the things that are beyond our control are beyond control. God is in control of all of those things. And so now we just have to trust God. Discuss a little bit about what it means to learn to confidently be on God. And it is the difference between taking two approaches to life. And I'll tell you that we call ourselves believers for a reason, because we believe. Now, the opposite of belief is unbelief. And unbelief is produced by doubt, worry, and fear. And the result of being in doubt, worry, and fear is unbelief. The opposite of that is operating in faith, confidence, and trust, which issue in belief. And what's important here is it starts with faith. And we know that the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So we know that when we study God's Word, we are preparing ourselves for whatever is coming up next in life. So we don't have to have this feeling of worry or nervousness or unease that is typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome, because we know that our expectation is for God to honor his word and get glory out of our faith, confidence, and trust in him. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what the attack is, our mandate is to stay peaceful and focused. Now, I want to discuss the opposite of this anxiety, which would be piety. And piety is defined as a quality of being religious or reverent, right? But when you're reverent, when you are doing what God has told you to do according to the word, then the peace of God is yours and a guarded heart. And I want to go to the scripture to actually take a look at exactly where it says that, so that you can see God's directive is, his commandment is to us in the word about being anxious, about anxiety. Look at what it says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse verses 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing. Have anxiety about nothing. But in everything, that is all things, by prayer and supplication, that is by grateful language, making your special request known to God, and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. And see, this is God telling us how we are to deal with anxiety. He's telling us to dismiss it. And instead of being anxious, see, anxiety is really waiting for something bad to happen, right? With the expectation that some unknown attack is coming from somewhere. And the Bible says in Proverbs that the wicked worry and they run when there is no one following them, no one attacking them. And see, what people are anxious about is the fact that they don't know the future and they don't have a relationship with God. So they can't call on the promises in the Word of God and stand on those promises to know that their future is secure. God's plan for them is good. God's plan is in His Word. If you have not read God's Word, then you probably don't know God's plan. And so now, one of the questions that arose in Bible study last night was someone asked, where should someone start reading the Bible who has never read the Bible before? And my directive to new believers is to start reading in the book of Psalms and then read the book of Proverbs and then go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and get a Bible with a red letter edition, right, where it has all of the words of Jesus Christ in red, and read, focus on the letters in red, because those are the specific teachings of Jesus Christ. And God says that when we do what His Son Jesus Christ said, that He will love us, and that He and His Son Jesus Christ will dwell with us, and we will dwell with them, right? So God gives us this directive here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. And one of the reasons we can do that is because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And because we are children of the Most High. We are children of the God of gods, the God who created the heavens and the earth. There is no God greater than our God. And so any power that we're going to come against is not going to be greater than the power that's within us, because we have God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit within us, and that is unlimited power. So there's a verse in Proverbs that says that we will see our enemy come at us one way, but flee before us seven ways, meaning that it's a coordinated effort usually to try to pin a child of God down. Because they're not fighting that child of God. They're fighting the power of God within you. And it's easy to handle the power of God. So they'll do everything in their power to catch you slipping, to catch me slipping, to catch us in a state of doubt, worry, fear, and unbelief. And that's why it's so important that we continually renew our mind to the Word of God, so that we can put on faith, confidence, and trust in God and really believe, really be a believer, right? So that we can have the peace of God and a guarded heart and mind within us, because we're praying to God in grateful language. We are making our request known to God. We are giving God thanks for all the great things He's already done for us. And then as as we make our requests known to God, it says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is what guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, right? So it's our relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, that allows us to have a guarded heart and a guarded mind, because we're not worried about anything. We are praying. We are making our requests known to God. We are thanking God. And see, the peace of God gets God a lot of glory, because when your enemies, when you read in the Old Testament some of the attacks on God's people, the issue wasn't that they were attacking the people of God. The issue was that attacking God's people in order to say that God was no greater than their God. And you tolerate that, right? So when you obey God and you stand as a child of God and you truly represent by trusting in God, by serving God, by pleasing God, by obeying God, then God has an obligation to himself to make sure that all who come against his purpose in your life see failure. They experience firsthand failure openly. And God puts them to an open shame as you confidently have faith, confidence, and trust in God with the type of believing that allows you to focus on the work that you've been given to do and to continue to expect God to cause you to prevail in all things that he's given you to do in spite of all adversaries, in spite of all resistance. I'm going to look at this particular verse here, but get to this next verse about how we do this, how we learn to confidently wait on God's peace and then walk in a state of piety instead of a state of anxiety. I want to talk about some of the outcomes of anxiety. One of the outcomes of anxiety is compulsive behavior. You're just all over the place doing whatever because you're afraid and you're trying to avoid a bad outcome. So you're just throwing everything at the wall, hoping that something sticks, right? And the other thing that happens is panic attacks. When you are so overwhelmed because you are not just dealing with the issues of the day, you're worrying about things that might not happen tomorrow. And you're worrying about things that did happen yesterday that you couldn't change if you wanted to. And these things, we are able to simply give to God. Trust God because he goes before us. I want to look at a verse in Proverbs chapter 16. And this verse in Proverbs 16 is very powerful because it tells us that when we commit our work to the Lord, it says in Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And this is very important because when we commit what we do to God, God establishes our plans because God knows what we're really up against. What I've learned after 25 years of being in business is that whenever you execute an agreement with anyone, what you're accepting is everything that comes with that that you just don't know about. There are so many unknowns when you agree to do something that you are literally accepting all of those unknowns and you're going in on faith or an ironclad contract with a whole lot of exits. And what I found is that when you understand the nature of trusting God, what you're doing is practicing saying yes to God, saying, yes, I trust you, Lord. Yes, I believe in your promises and your word. Yes, I look forward to seeing you increase my faith, increase my grace, increase my mercy, increase my ability to forgive others, increase my ability to love and to represent you in the earth, increase my faith in you, God. And see, it's that type of relationship that makes us stronger. It makes us grow. It makes us into the vessels of honor that God is crafting us to be. See, God has a plan for our life. And just because it started in the mud, just because it started in the dirt, you can know that all great things start in the dirt. If you're building a building, it starts in the dirt. You got to dig a hole and build a foundation. If you're planting a tree, it's going to start in the dirt. And then it's going to come up and it's going to grow to incredible heights. If you are planting food, it's going to start in the dirt. If you are raising cattle, start in the dirt. Everything that we see starts in the dirt, and it starts so small, and it normally looks like it's not so important, but when it comes forth and it buds and it blossoms and it grows and then it ultimately produces fruit, that's what our lives are supposed to be like. So the devil's always going to try to get you to see yourself the way that you're starting in the dirt. But whenever you look at a tree or whenever you look at it, I want you to think of the fact that both of those things started in the dirt. And I don't care how big the building is, it started with a big hole in the dirt. I don't care how big the tree is that you see, it started as a seed in the dirt. And so it is with us. We started in the dirt as enemies of God. And then when God caused us to truly, truly die to our flesh and then raise up and grow life in him through his son Jesus Christ, we then reach new heights and we do things and we see things that we've never seen before. But in order to do this, we have to obey the word of God and be anxious for nothing. See, it's one thing to read it and say, okay, God, I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm not going to be anxious about anything. And see, one of the reasons this command is here too is for us to understand that when we are anxious, we're not properly representing our Heavenly Father. We are saying that we don't trust him, or he can't be trusted, or we don't believe he can protect us. And the reality is that if God can't protect you, no one can protect you. If the creator of the heavens and the earth cannot protect you, you cannot be protected. And so it makes to put all the other things aside that the world says you just have to have in order to be responsible and all those things, and give it to God. God says, don't worry about any of that. In all things, pray your request to God with grateful language and thanksgiving, and let God know what it is you want. And then it says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding is what guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as we focus on the words of God, Jesus Christ, we're going to be in a place of peace with a guarded heart and a guarded mind. And that's so important, because when our heart and our mind is not guarded, then that's when we become our own worst enemy and we begin creating problems that don't necessarily exist. And I've done this myself, and I've done this. And so when we are anxious, God to help us. And how you help God to help you is obeying what he tells us to do right here. It's to pray. And I think one of the reasons that people don't pray is because they simply don't know how to pray. So what I want to share with you tonight is how to pray. When we pray, we go directly to the throne of God. We don't pray through a saint. We don't pray through some other person who has a relationship with God. We don't pray through anything. We go directly before the throne of God because it is us being able to pass through the veil of the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And when we pass through that veil of the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is behind us. The throne of God is before us. We're in the secret place of the Most High. When we are praying to God, when we're praying to God in the Spirit, especially when we're speaking to him, that is the secret place of the Most High. And nothing to that place where when we're in conference with God, that is where we are. And we can make our requests known to God. We can thank him. It says that when we speak in tongues, we are praying to God perfectly. We're giving him perfect thanks. We're making intercession for the saints. We're speaking mysteries to God. We're magnifying God. That's what we're doing, right? So instead of worrying, pray. And then make your request known to God. But give him thanks first for the things he's already done. Remember the last time God delivered you when you were tempted to be anxious. It's not shameful to be tempted to be anxious. We all have been tempted to be anxious. Jesus Christ was tempted in all things, yet without sin. So I'm sure that Jesus Christ was tempted at some time to be anxious and then not come to being anxious, right? He prayed. We read about Jesus praying often at the Garden of Gethsemane and other places. And we see how he gave God thanks before he performed the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. And he was thanking God for the privilege and honor of representing him in the earth and letting people know that the power of God is real, just as we should. See, when we're going through our tests and our trials, sometimes feel that it's all about us. But if we understand that this is getting God an opportunity to show our life and to show others that his power is real. Show others that having a relationship with God matters. Show others that there is a difference between someone with the power of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of the Word of God within them and someone without the Holy Spirit and without a knowledge of God's Word. So I want to share some scriptures with you that are going to help you with one of the greatest tasks associated with avoiding anxiety. And one of the greatest tools avoiding anxiety that leads to piety is learning how to wait on God. So look at what it says here in Psalm 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, this isn't put forth in questionable language. It says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. That means expect God to do what he said he was going to do in his word. And it says, and he shall strengthen thine heart. See, that's one of the ways that God guards our heart and strengthens our heart, is by us learning to simply wait on him and be of good courage. And allowing God to strengthen our heart means that we're not going to be so afraid of those who are threatening us with whatever they're threatening us with, because they are not more powerful than God. We don't worry about man. We don't put our confidence in man. We don't worry about about what men are going to say and do. Because what God says and does in his word and in our life is more than enough to overcome whatever man may say or do. And then it says, wait, I say, on the Lord. So he tells us and encourages us again to wait on the Lord. Look at what it says here in Psalm 62:5. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. See, our expectation is from God. And if you're looking at, if you're looking to anything else to protect you, you are going to be sorely disappointed, because those things are never going to match the promise. And look at what it says here in Psalm 33:20. It says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And see, when we understand that our soul waits on the Lord because he is our help and our, he is our shield, we're talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. Our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, the Ancient of Days, he who is and was and will be forevermore, who never changes, right? The Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Almighty, he is our help and he is our shield. Look at what it says here in Isaiah 40:31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, it's very important that we learn to wait upon the Lord so that we can renew our strength. See, just because we're strong at one time doesn't mean that we are continuously strong or continually strong. As a matter of fact, one of the things that come out of this verse is a real analogy that comes from this next line when it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, because there is a process in the eagle where an eagle gets to a certain age and they have to make a decision. The decision is to die or to molt, to actually plunge into the ocean or into a water. When they hit the water, all of their feathers come off. Then the bird, this majestic creature that has these incredible wingspans, is now reduced to the condition of a fish and is swimming to shore. And so now this powerful creature, this majestic bird, has to humble itself, dive into the water, lose all of its feathers, swim to shore, survive that, assuming there's nothing there to eat the eagle, and then hide in the bushes somewhere until its feathers grow back. And when its feathers grow back, it will essentially double its life, extend its lifespan, and be as strong as it was before, right? And, you know, while it's in the hedges, this is another thing that it does, because just like their feathers get old, their beak gets long and actually turns in on their face, so they have to pull their beak off. And then their talons do the same thing, so they have to pull their talons off when they're in the hedges after they've swam back to shore. And this whole process is incredibly painful. But one of the things that comes to my mind is a statement that my 10-year-old grandson made, which was, the answer to pain is oftentimes more pain. If you have ever injured yourself and you had to go to therapy and you had to actually endure physical therapy, you know that in order to heal, in order to get well, your exercises are going to cause you more pain in addition to the pain that was caused by the injury that you're trying to recover from. And so it says here, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I want to encourage you that whatever it is that might be giving you anxiety, to encourage you to give it to God and not worry anymore about it, whatever it is, whether it's bills, whether it's your health, whether it's your children, whether it's your job, your promotion, whether it is your relationship with your neighbors or your family members or your friends. Give it to God. Thank God for everything that he's done for you. And then pray to him in your heavenly prayer language or with your understanding. And talk to God in as reverent a way as you possibly can. Speak to God with the honor that is due to him. And let him know that you expect him to protect you and to guard you and to give you peace, because it says here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. So it's the peace of God that gets God, because people know what you're going through. And when they see you enduring, when they see you confidently waiting on God, that is a great testimony of your faith in action, because it doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. See, remember what it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2? It says that, I beseech that you present yourself a living sacrifice to God, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the transformation is by us renewing our mind to what the Word of God says and the Word of God, so that we are not circumstance conditioned. We are not conformed to the world. We don't care about what it looks like. So when Peter walked out on the waves to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he was walking on water, and then he started looking at the waves. He looked away from Christ and looked at the circumstances. That's when he started to sink. And Jesus Christ didn't let him drown. He picked him up out of there and put him back in the boat. That's not what we want to do. Because Jesus Christ's response was, "Oh, ye of little faith." Well, if Peter walked on water, had little faith, just imagine the condition of the other 11 disciples who were in the boat. They were those of no faith, right? And so what we want to be is those of great faith that Jesus Christ takes great pleasure in and God is pleased in, because we know that we serve the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth. Look at what it says here in Habakkuk 2:3. It says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, for a specific time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." And see, this is important for us to understand, because while we're waiting for the vision to come forth at the appointed time, the devil is going to be throwing fiery darts and attacks at us, telling us that we're wasting our time and it's never going to happen, and making things look like we're under attack and, "Oh, I've got you now, I've got you now." And we always have to remember that God has twice as many angels working on our behalf as the devil. The devil was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels. That means that God had two-thirds of the angels. But even more importantly, we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our master, who was given all heaven, all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And so there is no situation where we do not have the power to prevail. Look at what it says here in Hebrews 10:23. It says, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." See, God is faithful because he is the one that promised. The Word of God says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And where there is no waiting, there is no vision, because the vision is always connected to something that is going to happen in the future, right? Look at what it says in Psalm 145:15 and 16. It says, Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So there's a great reward, a great payment and reward that comes with our confidence in God. It says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. This is speaking to God. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. This is speaking of God's unconditional love, which is shown to everything under the sun. Sinners and believers alike, wicked and righteous alike, all receive the sun, all receive the rain, and all receive their sustenance that they need. Look at what it says here in Psalm 130, verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. See, and this is very important because it goes back to what I was saying before. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. It's in God's word that we hope. And we wait for the Lord because our soul is what's waiting for the Lord. Our mind, our will, and emotions are waiting for the Lord. That is our soul, because we have renewed our mind to the word of God and dismissed the circumstances. We dismiss whatever we see in the name of Jesus Christ, and we replace it with the promises in God's word. Look at what it says here in Hebrews 3:14. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. See, we have to practice righteousness by practicing consistently, being confident in God to show up. And what that means is we have to practice being peaceful. We have to practice letting the peace of God rule in our life. Because the peace of God surpasses all understanding, but that is what guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this last verse I want to share with you before we end tonight is in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9, and it says, and it shall be said in the day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. See, whatever God said and promised to us in his word, he's going to do, because God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is God the Son of Man that he should repent. So our confidence and faith and trust is in God, and your belief in God should produce in your life peace, the type of peace that allows your heart and mind to be guarded because it's surpassing all understanding. And we are not to be subject to compulsive behavior or panic attacks because, see, it's the love of God that casts out all fear. And if you remember that, the first and great commandment is to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second great command from God is to love yourself and love others. Then you are already positioned to walk into all of this because perfect love casts out fear. So if you are obeying God, then fear has to go. Doubt has to go. Worry has to go. Unbelief has to go. And when we see doubt, worry, and fear as us not loving God the way that God is commanding us to love him, then we will repent. We will turn away from leaning to our own understanding. We will turn away from trying to please people. We will turn away from trying to serve money. We will turn away from leaning to our own understanding and just trust God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. I thank you for you ministering to someone in a way that allows them to see your hand in their life on a daily basis. God, I thank you for you giving someone a good night's sleep tonight and rest and peace and strength in you, knowing that your word is true and that your presence in their life is real and your plan for their life is good. Father, I thank you for all of those who are going to hear this message in the future, and I thank you for you blessing them and strengthening them and allowing them to come into a greater relationship with you so that they can walk into the fullness of all of your peace and all of your power and all of your praise and all of your purpose for their life. Father, I thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds and allowing us to reverently speak to you and honor you because of your presence in our life and because you have loved us before we ever knew you, when we were your enemies, and you've called us to be your dear children, and you sent your only begotten Son to pay for all of our sins with his blood and to pay for our physical wholeness with his broken body. Father, I thank you for your goodness in our life, and I thank you for you allowing us to share that goodness with others. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. They're stressed. They're depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS. Brazil, the States.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister. I speak life, you are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life, don't
lose another person to a senseless death, substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing.
Don't give up the fight for your life. You shall live.